Those mini stories
are fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. Yeah. See, this podcast has no rules. It's about passion. Welcome to the Superhero Academy podcast. I'm your host, Archangel. Hello, superheroes. Wow. It has, it's been a hot minute. An entire pandemic has gone on. I mean, it's still going on. In fact, Code Red. We're in Code Red here in Montreal. It's a little weird. It's a little scary. Everything's shut down. I don't know what to do, but I figured it was time to come back. So this is season 6, episode 1 of season 6, where, well, I was thinking about getting the Zoom setup going. I'm going to do it. I have some amazing guests lined up for this season. But to be honest, I am way more excited to have somebody in person where I can interact, where I can like shake hands with somebody, share a coffee, do something different with someone in person in Montreal. And honestly, I haven't had a huge network in Montreal over the years because I've spent so much time traveling and seeing so many of your faces, right, all around the globe. But today, I've got what I would consider to be a Montreal icon. I'm not going to lie. Seriously, because you have been, in my eyes, the face of MTL Blog,
right,
which is basically the news now for millennials, crazy. For sure. Yeah. Anyone who has social media and doesn't have cable TV like you and I, for sure, you're the news. I wouldn't even know about Code Red if it weren't for MTL Blog at the end of the day. So Alex Melke here, who's a producer at MTL Blog.
Yes.
You're not the owner.
No.
I've known this.
Yes.
But for the longest time, you're the guy. Like, you're the guy whose face I see on all the content.
Yeah. A lot of people come up to me and they have some sort of opinion on either an article that was written like 3 years ago. And I'm like, I don't know. Somebody else wrote it. Somebody else owns the company. I'm just the video guy. For years, that was my go-to. I'm like, I'm just the video guy.
But now it's changed though.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was a bit of a story, like, was MTL Blog always under Narcity?
So it's funny because basically what happened was MTL Blog was MTL Blog. And then there was this idea of expansion and they couldn't do MTL Blog Toronto. So they had to come up with a new name.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial idea, I don't know if you remember telling me this, but one of the owners was telling me how there was going to be this big party. And there was going to be MTL Blog on the walls. And then at midnight, these red tapestries would come down. It would say Narcity. And everyone would be like, what is this? That never happened, but I wish it did.
Well, I mean, they did expand across the country.
They did.
It's gotten way bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'm not going to lie. I really believe it's the news for Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
For millennial Canadians, this is where I'm going to learn about where the next pumpkin patch is going to be. Where I can go find a corn maze in Laval.
Yeah.
Where the next cool thing I'm going to do on the weekend is.
It's funny because I think about things like YouTube and I think about things like Facebook and Reddit. And I spend so much time more on Reddit than the other two. But I think about what was life before these things? I don't know where I found out about those things that I learned about on those platforms. And I think the same can be applied for Narcity and MTL Blog. There's really specific things, like you said, a pumpkin patch in Laval. Like, where would I have ever heard of that before, I don't know, 10 years ago, right?
Yep.
Some obscure local paper. So it's kind of interesting the way that it's magnifying these small pieces to everyone in the city.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's highlighting what I love about it. And to be honest, I used to hate MTL Blog for a while because you guys were like the king of clickbait titles.
Yeah.
Because, and I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand why we had to do this, right? I'm guilty as charged. It just wasn't done under my name necessarily.
Right.
But the end of the day is it now became like the new normal because that's all like where, like you said, where do we find information otherwise?
Yeah.
Like I don't have a newspaper that comes to my door where I can learn about this stuff. In Code Red, like where we are now, this is technically not quite legal. Although him and I live at the same address and you're allowed to be one
visiting.
Guest.
I'm visiting. Exactly. My mental health is shaky right now. I haven't left my apartment in like a week and a half.
This is vacation.
Purely because this is vacation. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, you're incredibly welcome. Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, it's amazing to me that we have gotten to a point where our media diet is this constant thing that we are constant. It's basically, apparently, we're checking our phones every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm sure more than that.
I'm The pickups are going up. The numbers aren't getting better. Right. I'll say that. Yeah. Right. And particularly in COVID when we have nowhere to go and we can't even go to a bar or restaurant anymore. Yeah, it's not getting better.
I think what's really interesting, and I never thought about it until you just said it now, but you're talking about consuming media, right? And yeah. I think that if you look at like the most popular, I'm sure the most downloaded apps on the iPhone that are free are Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know. Yes, it's entertainment that you're consuming, but I guarantee you every second or third thing is some sort of media that you're consuming, whether you accept it or know it, you're doing it or not.
Yeah.
And to consume media alongside the things that you're consuming for your own entertainment without even thinking about it, it's kind of weird.
Yes.
It's kind of weird.
Very weird. And different platforms play in different ways, right? We were talking just before we press record here, we were talking about like why YouTube. You asked me why YouTube because I said I really care about YouTube. And I said because on YouTube there's a different intent. People go to YouTube with specific things that they're searching for. Now, in fairness, they still have a recommend tab. You still end up on the homepage. You're looking through whatever. But you still generally go to Google and YouTube with a particular idea mind.
That's right.
And there's value to older content there.
There is, especially, I mean, you've talked about that kind of like the recommended page and that leads you down a rabbit hole, right? And
sure.
So if you have spoken about something at length,
yes.
People can find you in the long term. But in the short term, this like burst of, I need to find everything now, on Facebook and on Instagram, it's just there. And it's almost a little bit like a drug where it's a full-on drug. I think they were literally
social dilemma.
Social dilemma.
Yeah.
And I think that it's you're absolutely right. We've spoken about this at work as well in our City and MTA blog about the main differences between the two platforms is exactly that. Facebook and Instagram, it's more passive. Twitter as well to a degree, but YouTube is very much something that you will go and search for.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I'm gonna be honest here, half the shit on my recommended is garbage.
Sure.
I'm like, why are you recommending this to me?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I find recommended is very, it's hit or miss, but it's like I feel like I've been nursing it. Like it's like
smart.
It's like a bonsai tree that I'm growing and I'm like slowly but surely clipping the little things and watering
that.
It slowly.
I respect a good recommended page.
Absolutely. I don't like giving somebody my phone so that they can search for things on my YouTube because I know they're gonna fuck my like it's like they're gonna like play with my
algorithm. Let me just log out here.
Yeah, exactly. Before you exactly. Let me give you a guest account real fast. Netflix works that way too because we are beholden to the machine at the end of the day. Like the machine is, this algorithm is controlling what we think and feel about the world.
Right.
And the more that you go down a particular rabbit hole, like what we mentioned, flat earth, right? The more you go down a particular rabbit hole, the further down the rabbit hole you go.
Narrows you down.
And the question becomes, but some of that then becomes like everything gets labeled in these categories, conspiracy theory or this or that. And man, I don't know.
Yo.
You know what I mean? Like there's some real conspiracies out there that deserve coverage, but at the same time, they maybe go too far.
Yeah.
So is Q right or are they wrong? Look, we're not going to go. Yeah. We don't have the capacity.
No, we don't.
We don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. Nobody has it. None of you have the answer.
You wish.
Stop pretending that you have the answer. You wish you did.
You wish you did.
but the rabbit holes are there, and it's just, it's just like, how deep do you want to go?
I know. But I think that's also the plus and the minus of it as well, right? If you want to go deep, you can go deep, and then you will become one of those people that all you talk about is conspiracy theories, and you have to kind of like hold your tongue in front of your friends because you know they're going to talk shit about you. Alternatively, you can avoid all that, and then that's like a whole other world that's alien to you, and suddenly it creates this divide, right? Which is messed up. I've actually recently, I think during the beginning of COVID, purely out of my own curiosity and also because I don't want to live in a bubble, I started following a couple of conspiracy theorists. And while I look at it and take it with a huge grain of salt, and I'm not thinking the fucking Chinese government is in my bathtub waiting for me to fall asleep to pluck my nose hairs.
Sure.
I think that it's interesting to know that this is how people's minds are working. And then, you know, let's say one of those does come true, then you like Alex Jones, perfect example. Everything that's coming out with Jeffrey Epstein, I heard 4 years ago.
Alex Jones.
Freaking out about the vampires and sucking blood of babies and Clintons. And I was like, and I'm listening to this, laughing my ass off. And then,
there's some truth to some of these things. And I would love to hear a little bit about your background because somebody who's listening to this might not know.
Right.
We'll get into that in a second. But the reason I'm going to preface that
right.
is I've actually, over the years, I've building this podcast and doing all these crazy things. I actually worked with, I never owned, or I was a kind of a contributor to some of these kind of alternative media spaces, brands like High Existence or Collective Evolution, Higher Perspective. I did some stuff with Goalcast, you know, who's here in Montreal, for example. I've just built a network of kind of grassroots influential kind of brands or pages, and I like to call them collective flags of sorts that are kind of bringing news in various ways. But with that said, how did you get to be involved in MDL Blog? Like, I mean, you've been, like I said, to me, you're the face.
Right.
If I can name one person who works at MDL Blog, you're the only one I can
name.
I don't think
anyone knows anyone else that works.
That's the whole point. Yeah. And if it wasn't for like my research and knowing what's going on behind the scenes and understanding some things, I wouldn't know any wiser. But the idea of what got you into video production, content production, you know, at the end of the day, news to some degree, some of which is very like relevant and like right here, right now, and others that are more, hey, here's what's going on
it's
in our
fun.
System. Interesting. Like, what do people want to hear about this week?
Let's go to La Valle to see a pumpkin.
Yeah, like, where's the best Taco Tuesday?
Right? Which is important information.
It is.
It's actually the strangest, randomest story. Mm-hmm. And the pinnacle of it all started when I was in CJEP and I was in media arts. And we were doing, I think it was our big final project. We were outside. We were pretending to do a newscast.
Okay.
And we were just bullshitting. I was doing an Irish accent. And, oh, my brother's dead back there. And I was looking up in the windows, and I saw people filling out their exams for, I don't know, science or math or whatever. And I looked up, and I felt so guilty. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm having fun. This is my final. These people, that's what academic is. Like, I don't know, just bullshit.
Yeah.
So when I went into university, the only other class I liked was anthropology. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to be Indiana Jones. Anthropology. And so I did that for, like, I don't know, two semesters, a semester and a half. And then I realized I'm so not the guy who's going to live in a hut in Uganda and build schools. It's not me. There's other people that are way more passionate about that. And then I switched into sociology, loved it, but I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? Teach this? And so I was stuck in one of my classes, and I'm like, you know what? I put all my eggs in communications, but then I saw one of my friends from media arts was in journalism. She loved it. And I was like, journalism, I have no interest, but fuck it. Let me try something, you know? Never heard back from communications, got into journalism. Now, the summer I was at the end of my first semester, it was the summer, and I was like just hungry for, I don't know, some internship, anything, you know? And I had made friends with one of the friends of the two owners of MTL Blog. Now, back then, I literally knew no one. I don't think anyone really knew MTL Blog. They were taking pictures for events.
Yeah.
I had seen their sticker on a stop sign. That was about it.
I'd seen like, I feel like that's the knowledge that I have of early MDL Blog. Like, and I can't even give you a date. Like, I couldn't even give you a time frame necessarily.
2000s at some point.
Yeah.
2010.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
And so I don't know if you know E3, the electronics convention. I'm huge into video games. And E3 came around, and me being on Facebook, being the nerd that I am, I decided to write a little note, my little review, my 10 points of E3. And one of the owners at MTL Blog, who I had hung out with a couple of times, he saw it and he goes, hey, do you mind if I publish this? I'm like, yes, I'm in journalism. That's fucking huge.
Do it.
He's like, oh, I'm like, I'm actually going to go see a couple of movies, play some video games. You want me to write some reviews for you? He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. We need content. And so that's how the article started, which was kind of interesting because there's no way any of that would come out now. It's just completely different, you know. And when I started there, we were maybe three writers, the two owners. We shared a desk with 11 other co-companies in one room in a building in, oh my God, somewhere in the Green Line. No air conditioning. It was terrible. and from there, it exploded that summer. It exploded. Yeah. And back to what you were saying about sort of the clickbait titles, and I think it was one of those things where the momentum was so fast that it just thrusted you in this direction, and you're just trying to
hold on,
and you're like, what is working? I don't know.
And the algorithms were juiced. It was like steroids.
Literally, steroids.
It was attention on steroids.
Fully.
The world had never seen anything like this.
Never.
I fully agree with that.
And we were just, I think, in retrospect, a bunch of kids just having fun, you know?
Writing about stuff you wanted to know about.
Basically. And then towards the end of that, fall was coming up, and I was like, okay, I feel like I'm not really into, like, writing articles. I don't want to do this. And right around the end of that year, I had done like an in-class. I was in journalism now. Mm-hmm. And we did a studio newscast. I wore a suit behind a desk. Hello. I had my TV voice. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Montreal News. One of the owners saw it and he goes, what is that? And I go, oh, it's just this thing. He's like, oh, do you want to do a video? And I'm like, all right. And in January 2014, mm-hmm. in a room the size of a fucking closet, mm-hmm. we shot the first episode of Anchorman MTL. And it just fucking clicked. And I'm not going to get into the details, but after that, I did jump around to some corporate stuff, mm-hmm. which gave me a little bit of an understanding of what businesses want. And then over the last 5 years, I sort of meandered. And 2 years ago, they basically said, can you come back and work for us full time? Amazing. And I've been working in video every single day for the past 2 years, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I look, you know, I'm gonna toot your horn here. I think there's something really beautiful about what you're doing. I think I love that you're doing the series in a way that you're like bringing this forward. It mm-hmm. seems like you're doing what you want to do. Yeah. So like, I know that you have like a new show that just came or just right. coming out right. called Food Trip.
Right.
Which sounds like the best job ever.
I know.
So go, first of all, Montreal yeah. is a foodie city. We have the best food in terms of, because we're just so diverse here in mm-hmm. Canada mm-hmm. that we have like real authentic Greek food, real yeah. authentic Lebanese food,
we're
real
lucky.
Authentic
we're so
Portuguese
lucky.
Food, whatever it is. Yeah, we're incredibly, incredibly fortunate. So mm-hmm. I think you've got one of the best jobs on the planet in terms of going around town and doing that kind of stuff. And I love that you're doing it with your brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also very new. So quick shout out to my brother who graduated university not that long ago. And I kind of scooped him up right after that happened. He was editing some videos for us. And then he basically now has become an assistant producer. I'm sorry. He just got a promotion. Congratulations. But it's one of those things where I remember that period right after graduating university.
Yeah.
Where like,
what do I
just kind of, yeah. And even though I was doing something in the realm of this, I was still kind of lost, and I think it took me a couple years, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years, to really figure out who I am, what I want to do. Because, I mean, who you are and what you want to do is such a vague thing that they don't teach you to want that or to need that or to pursue that in school, that yeah. you have to figure that out for yourself. And I was lucky enough that I tripped into it mm-hmm. and that people were, I don't know, believed in me enough to give me the opportunity to do it, and I didn't suck. And so I saw my brother coming out of school. I was like, you know what? I already saw it. He was working, you know, a part-time job at Rona. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he needs this right now. Otherwise, the next 3 years are going to suck. And then fucking COVID hit, and I can't even imagine. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll say it's amazing to work with somebody who, number one, you've known your whole life.
Yeah.
Number two, you love.
Yeah.
And number three, yeah, just you can show up
yeah.
and you can communicate with, yeah. which is amazing because I have my brother behind the scenes here. Yeah. There's no camera on him, but you can hear his voice here. His voice could chime in the background.
I speak through the camera.
Ooh. It's amazing. You could go to the screen share, and that's this will represent him. He'll have full control of this through some software, any desk software, another software that we're gonna use over time. But he's kind of like the co-host. He's my Jamie, as yeah. you said, right?
Yeah.
Joe Rogan reference right
and
there.
To have that trust in somebody is so huge and valuable. You can't buy that.
Yeah. And it takes momentum
yeah.
too. Like content is a momentum game. And I think if there's anything I can respect of what MTL Blog and now Narcity has created is there's a real momentum around the content that you guys are putting out.
Yeah.
And what I love at this point is that it's standardized.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what to expect.
Yeah.
Like you've hit the niche
yeah.
where it's like, okay, we're doing the news. You're going to click here and you can get all the links to everything in mm-hmm. this one thing. And it looks exactly like Instagram. Like, I like that. There's
yeah.
something really simple about that. And there's something really beautiful about that. And then I can see the business model of
yeah.
this fanning out.
What's really interesting from my perspective as the video guy, I don't have my hand in all these different pies. I
yeah.
mainly focus on video.
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating for me to look at the way that these people, because I left for a couple of years and then I came back.
Yep.
And I worked with them here and there, but I wasn't really involved in the culture.
Yep.
And I've seen the growth and the way that they've massaged this brand into what it is now and the care and the love they put into it. And everything is calculated. Everything is measured. And, oh, this didn't work. Why? Okay. And it's I respect that so much. You know,
mm-hmm.
Going back to what I was saying earlier, it's you don't see all the work that other people put into it. And it's almost like, oh, shit, there's like a foundation here that I don't have to worry about because they do that,
yep.
Right?
They're taking care of the infrastructure, right. A lot of the infrastructure that sometimes is the unsexy part of building mm-hmm. this. Like, even this podcast looks simple when it comes down to it. And it, I mean, for some people, it's like, wow, this is really amazing and complex. But in truth, we make it look way simpler than sometimes it is, because there's a lot of infrastructure that goes into not only the physical mm-hmm. functioning of wires and what you need to do, but then the processing of all of this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a genius to, okay, we're going to talk about the story. We're going to pre-research it. We're going to mm-hmm. think about this. We're going to go with this angle.
Oh,
we're going
to,
here's the title. What's the thumbnail we're going with? Like, there's a lot of thought that goes into all of this stuff that people don't fully acknowledge.
Yeah.
But when you think about, like, the biggest YouTubers on the planet, everything about what they're doing is engineered.
Yeah.
And I am fascinated with some creators out there. You know, I'm really learning to find and love and meet now a ton of creators here in Montreal. But man, the amount of creators out there that are just crushing it is unbelievable.
I think it's really cool that a lot of different people from different backgrounds are able to harness that energy. Because mm-hmm. I think that for a long time you had to be one thing to succeed.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not gonna lie, look at me, right? I'm fairly packageable, and I can be utilized by many different companies. I think I've been the face of several companies in Montreal, which is insane. I think for a long time there was that thing, and maybe I'm not exactly that thing. Maybe I fit into it better than other people do. But right now, platforms like YouTube provide something for everybody.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but everyone who can show up consistently,
yes,
who can really get over like the hump of like, maybe I look like an idiot online, or I said something stupid on the podcast, or blah, 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 blah. And then who can process and understand the culture of the internet.
Right.
I mean, if you can combine those skills, mm-hmm. you've got something powerful going on. With that said, I'm surprised MTL Blogger, I'm surprised you guys aren't doing more content. Like, I don't want to say content, more video content.
Yes, yeah. So,
like, no, where's a podcast? Like,
yeah. Let me tell you.
There's something brewing. No, there's something has to be happening here.
I've been pushing for a podcast for a little while, but video has kind of been on the back burner for a long time. When I got hired, it was with the intent of really putting video on the forefront. And then only during COVID did we really get our stride with video. And right now is maybe the most successful the video has been ever. And so I think that it was a lot on the video department to figure that out for a very long time. And that includes podcasts. That includes all the other things. You know, I think we had talked about doing like audio versions of all the articles. You could just listen to it. And
I'm surprised it's not happening already.
But at the same time, I think that a lot of people would be shocked about how few resources we have as well in terms of human
bodies, talent,
right?
And it's a talent problem.
That's it.
Yep.
I think right now they're refocusing towards video and maybe towards digital media on a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And moving forward, I'm very excited right now compared to where it was, let's say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, it was all about trying, I think, and I get it now, I think it was trying to establish the brand and what that side of things was first.
Yes.
And now that's sort of, I mean, it is what it is. You, like you just said, you know what you're clicking, you know what you're getting.
It's found its groove.
Exactly.
There's definitely a groove, mm-hmm. and in moments it had a groove, or it, you know, it was sensationalized in terms of headlines or the type of content. In other moments it was like another way, and then it just kind of, it definitely found a niche.
Yeah. Because I've been there since, 2013? Jesus Christ, 7 years. That's terrible. Because I've been there for that long, I've seen the transition. I look at the people that work there now, mm-hmm. and they're journalists. Like, they're people who, like, take this so seriously. Like, it's crazy how seriously
they take it. Well, because they're actually covering real, like, there's real implications to some of the information.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, a lot of people are, relying on this for COVID news.
Right.
No joke.
Right. Yeah. And so to go in the wrong direction or post the wrong thing can have massive ramifications.
Yeah.
And it's just, it blows my mind. Cause I mean, even up until maybe like a year or two ago, I'd people would be like, oh, like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I work for this website. I don't know if you know what MTL Blog.
Mm.
They look at me like I'm a fucking idiot. Like, yes, I know MTL Blog. And it still takes me a moment to, holy shit, this is so much bigger than like the three guys or four people living in working in a 11 person office.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It shifted.
Yeah.
But I can see, I could just see the forefront of it. Like, I know And I'm interested to just participate. I'm interested in having this conversation because I'm like, I want to see more content coming out of Montreal.
Yes,
I think Montreal is a greater hub of the future. I think we have an enormous amount of talent here.
I so agree.
I think everyone's running from California and New York. And at the end of the day, like, yeah, sure, a lot of those people are going to end up in Austin, Texas, and they'll go to Tulum during the fucking elections. But but what about like places like Montreal, like Vancouver, I think are going to gain a lot of traction in terms of the content.
God, I hope so.
I do. I really believe this.
There are so many fucking talented people on my Instagram feed that I have met over the years.
Yep.
A video here, a video there. And I've always said that if it wasn't for Montreal, I don't think I would be where I am, just because Montreal is this really unique ecosystem where if you're good and you can grow, you will grow.
Yep.
And you will rise to the top of it. Yes, it's a small pond. It's a, you know, it's a lake, but you will rise. If I was in California, there would be 1,000 of me. There would be 100,000 of me.
It would be based on who you know and whether you're well-funded. It's much more difficult to break through, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. But once you do break through, then the pond is much bigger.
Exactly.
And you're in an ocean, really.
1,000%.
And then you could be way bigger, too. Mm-hmm. Because I always, like, and it's funny that you say that, because I've always felt like Montreal has a bit of a ceiling. It's almost like we have our own version of a glass ceiling.
Yes.
And there's this, like, you can't really break through in certain ways. I always found like funding around startups is different here. It's not like in the Valley where it's just, oh, you have an idea here. Here's $1 million. Go make it happen. And I've watched this happen with many of my entrepreneur friends in New York and in LA or everywhere. I'm like, wow, unbelievable that you guys are getting money to do this. Like you have not even half the talent of what I'm seeing happen in Montreal. But again, it's a smaller kind of market and it has a smaller audience. But I think, again, we're starting to see this grow.
Yeah.
Like, I know that this podcast can start reaching way more people. It's just a question of, like, do we come together and actually start working together more? Mm-hmm. Do Montrealers start cross-pollinating a little further and stop bringing that talent elsewhere? Because I find, like, people make it here, but then they're like, oh, I'm going to New York.
I know. This is something I've thought about.
It was like a brain drain.
Way back when I was like, oh, I'm going to like fantasizing about my late night talk show interviews. Yeah. So, you know, Montreal. And I was just thinking about like, okay, so let's say it does get to that point. Like, do I leave Montreal? And I don't know. Part of me feels like I like Montreal has given me so much that I kind of owe Montreal, but also I love Montreal. Like I inherently love it. It has faults. It's not perfect by a country mile, but I don't know.
Might as well change our flag to an orange cone.
There you go. You know, but there's something about this city that every time I travel, I'm so excited to come back. And I've been stuck in my apartment and in my little zone downtown for the past 6 months. And yeah, it's a little claustrophobic, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Maybe a beach, but that's it.
Yeah, you know, you say that, but like you can book a flight to Tulum right now and you can go.
Don't tempt me. I will go.
$200.
It's not expensive, Now's the time. If there's ever been a time.
Did you say $300?
I think it's like $250. You can get.
Fuck you.
You can get to Tulum.
Are you
absolutely?
Let's go right now. Why are we doing this podcast?
Yeah,
I would have met you there.
We're pausing this right here. Continue.
We're just collecting CRB checks now. So you know what I mean. It's just there's incentive to stay.
Holy shit.
No. I mean there is a brain drain in certain scenarios, but I think that we're repatriating. I think I want to put Montreal on the map.
I do.
I've really thought about this a lot. Yeah. I'm like, I want to bring amazing creators here.
Yeah.
I want them to want to come to Montreal and discover Canada in a different way. Because I'm sick and tired of like, it must be cold up there. I'm like, yeah, but have you ever been here in July?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever seen the fall colors in September? It's like, you really need to think about this.
Yeah.
And then I get it. Like, January, miserable.
Fucking
get out of here.
February, fucking
February is, my life. But that's why I go to Costa Rica. That's where I go. That's where I travel. I, you know, take the show on the road. I literally brought this whole podcast set up.
Did you?
I ran a mastermind multiple times a few years in a row at a festival called Envision Festival.
Okay.
And I basically hosted an entire camp, ran a stage. So we had like full on production of a stage. We filmed everything like a TED Talk style stage during the day. And then of course people party at night. And then, but I also set up a podcast booth daily, every day,
Holy
every
shit.
Single day. I took this whole setup, tore it down daily, put it up in the morning first thing, and then tore it down as the sun.
Well, I mean, I guess part of the efficiency is building something that can be dismantled and built up that quickly, right?
Yep.
It still worked.
And fit in one suitcase.
And it was you guys together the whole time? Or?
He wasn't, wasn't running it in that scenario. Okay. Jordan came on, my brother, who we've been talking about in behind the scenes here. He came on, really when he decided he wanted to, he came out to me saying, I want to write a book about his travel stories.
Okay.
And I'm like, nobody's going to read your book. And I just had to be like honest as a brother.
Have you seen someone die or?
I mean, he's definitely, tiger? He has great stories. He has great stories.
Okay.
Great stories, but travel the
your
whole
silence
world.
Silence is deafening.
he's had great stories, but I was like, nobody wants to see that. And it would be more interesting for you. Mm-hmm. It has more intonation. It has more like characteristic. And I wouldn't call him a writer. Like, it's not like if he was super passionate about writing, it's one thing. But I think he was just doing it really to document.
Right.
I'm like, why not do it as a podcast?
Yeah.
Potentially have people you've traveled with as guests. And then do it as a video podcast and come use the studio. And he did it. And that was, say something about your podcast. What's the name of your podcast?
What?
Well, I have a podcast. It's called Toast.
Yeah. Called Toast?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
I mean, here's the sound.
Like a toaster.
Yeah.
So it's actually short for Tales of a Seasoned Traveler.
Shut up. How long did it take you to come up with that, honestly?
Actually, not long, because my ex-girlfriend actually was always telling me, like, okay, well, like, you love bread. Like, it should be related to bread.
Shut up.
And so I was just thinking, I was like, okay, well, you know, I have toast every morning. And then I was just thinking, like, Traveler or something, Tales. And then I was just kind of looking for something. And I would say... not even half of a morning or something.
That
and
never
was,
happens, you son of a
right?
bitch.
If that, I actually think it's like a very appropriate
that's perfect.
Title.
It's amazing.
It's actually really good.
Yeah.
And the logo's kind of cool. Like, it's very you. Anyway, long story short, he basically decided he was going to do this, and I had been tinkering with this system forever. And I used to do the interviews. I was switching myself.
Yeah.
But I think where I've gotten to in my own content creation journey is I just need the support.
Yeah.
And I had built an entire team that was doing like social media management and that kind of stuff. And then I had an entire team of people doing production, but I was spending all my time managing these people that
it's
I was
exhausting.
Spending none of my time actually creating.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I need somebody to just be here, understanding, processing, taking notes, like time coding it all.
Right.
Because now the efficiency of that is so much more powerful.
Weight off your shoulders. You could be more focused on your content creation.
Yeah. And now I have like, literally there's somebody in the building here who's like, hey, I want to start a podcast. I'm like, great. Here's a price. Here's what it costs. And now there's a business running podcasts for other people.
Very cool.
And I think that that's going to happen more.
Yes.
Like I see this space. I call this space a Storytory.
Right.
Story Laboratory for short.
God damn it. Stop.
Coming
stop
up with
it.
Names after one after the other. Yeah. Zingers. But the reality is that I see more and more of these types of creator houses or studios coming together.
Yep.
And we don't really have a ton of that.
Right.
We have a huge film industry.
Yes.
We have a huge tax credit industry
right here
in Montreal. But I think we need to tap into that from a creator level now.
Right.
And so like, where does that start to like come in where enough creators start to band together and say, okay, let's build a studio where your set is in this corner, your set's in that corner, this person's set. Like in one room, you can have four sets.
Yeah.
Either with flat walls or four
space.
Corners. They don't. This is not huge. Like there's three cameras right here, a computer, a little set. It's more complex and it looks more complex to some degree than it needs to be.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's not that much space.
No.
It can easily pay its own rent, and people, it's never been more important to have speed to content.
Yep.
And I think we're going to see, like, you know, we're going to just see it grow. We're going to see live streaming change a little bit. We're going to see how that plays and being multi-platform in that way. But then also how you segment and take this content and multi-purpose it.
Right.
There's just a huge wave of opportunity, I think.
There is. When I was in journalism, at a very interesting time because media was changing so quickly. And I think that like it was around the same time that I was starting an MTL blog. And it was weird for me to be in a position where we're creating content that sort of became news alongside being taught by teachers who either used to or still kind of work in real news, like traditional news. And I remember we had this one teacher who took like a 3-hour class to teach us Twitter. And we're like, we've been on Twitter. Like, we know Twitter, you know? And they said so many times, they're like, listen, we're teaching you what we think you're going to need in, like, 5 years. Because right now, we have no idea.
Yep.
And a lot of jobs were going, a lot of people were losing their jobs at that time. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter, and after we graduated, a couple of people that I know ended up in traditional media were also losing their jobs while I still had mine.
Yep.
And I always saw that a lot of people were saying, oh, well, you know, all these jobs are going out and like, what are you going to do? There's no employment. And I go, no. Like, there's going to be a new form of whatever that is. Whatever you used to do is going to be replaced by something else. That's your new thing.
Yep.
And we're talking about,
we're still paying attention to things.
Absolutely. You need to. There, you need to.
We all absorb news and information regardless. It's just a question of the medium.
And just going back to what you were saying about people needing access to the ability to put their voices out there or produce content. Yep. At a moment's notice, that's your opportunity. And so many, I can't even tell you how many times I saw something I thought passed me by. The first one, the big one that I remember being YouTube in 2008.
Oh.
And me going, oh man, that's it. It's too fucking late. So I guess figure something else out. If I had just done, I was uploading like whatever bullshit funny videos, you know, they were not bad, right? Anybody could have been PewDiePie if you just stuck with it for 10 years.
Yeah.
You could have done something.
Absolutely. Yep.
It's crazy.
And what I find is amazing is that's actually still possible.
For sure.
And some people are like, oh, well, is it possible? Is it possible on TikTok now?
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone focuses on the new platform.
Right.
Honestly, I still believe it's possible like right here, right now.
Yeah.
You just, now more than ever though, you just have to know your niche.
Yep.
You need to be able to segment things properly. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to title things properly. You need to be able to do research. You basically need a little team.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think we're the maturity of the creator space and content production space is shifting. For the longest time, social media was kind of a solopreneur's game or a solo creator's game, right? So it's like you could do everything. You could be the one man, one woman show or the one non-binary show, mm-hmm. right? And the capacity for you to bring that forward was just based on what level of hustle and what level of like willingness you were going to do and how many tags you were going to do and how many growth hackings things you were going to try, right?
Yep.
How many DMs are you going to send? Now that game has become multi-layered.
Right.
And the more creators start working together, coming together in creator houses, but also working together with like, not everyone has to be in front of the camera.
Right.
There's a lot of people who want to just be the audio guy.
Who are very
or
skilled.
Just be the social media master. Sure. You know what I mean? And so that like team, those teams have to start forming. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that, we saw that happen. We're seeing it still happen in America way more.
Yeah.
You're hearing about TikTok houses. Yes. You're taking out YouTube houses. You got like the Jake Paul, Logan Pauls of the world that have like, you know, team 10s or whatever. there's all these things. There's these teams that are forming.
Yeah.
But it's not yet here.
No.
I don't see it yet here, but it has to come.
It has to.
It has to come.
It has to. And I, again, I don't know what it is. Is it Canadian culture? Are we just timid about these extreme crazy things? Like, are the Americans, what are they doing?
I think we're just less likely to be irreverent.
Maybe.
Yeah, like Americans are more.
Maybe.
There's just so many more of them that they have to like do more to stand out.
Yeah.
And so they make better content that way.
And they've just evolved that way. Yeah.
But some people who were willing to be different did evolve out of here. Like if I think of like Yes Theory, they're not Canadians necessarily, but they all came to McGill and they started making videos that were like different, standing in a metro and being like, I trust you, a Muslim kind of thing or whatever. And then somehow they meet Justin Trudeau and blah, blah, blah. Now they're doing the content without necessarily like, yes, they have the clickbait thumbnails and yes, the titles or whatever.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they're what I consider very, very wholesome content.
I agree.
Very, very wholesome content.
As far as like very successful YouTubers go, what they're doing,
they're my favorite.
You're not like, ugh.
No, never.
I never feel that way.
Yeah, ever. Sometimes I'm like, okay, you did that as like a...
Right.
Like, there's some fluff to it. Like, there's some like, oh, we went to the most remote island and had whatever. But even that, like even doing that, they're like, here's the lesson I learned.
Yeah.
Or we went to the most remote island and somebody knew who we were. Like, this one guy knew about Yes Theory and that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like, there's just a wholesomeness to the angle that they have and then the kind of like the raison d'être behind it used to be kind of say yes and like get out of your comfort zone, which they've now nailed into seek discomfort as a brand, as a logo or as a mission, let's say.
Right.
And that's brilliant.
Yeah. I agree. And maybe that is the Canadian version of these content houses or this, yes. you know, coming together, and you can still do it. You don't have to be Logan Paul. You can be
you don't,
whoever you want to be.
Exactly. You don't have to go crazy with it. You don't have to David Dobrik it. Right. You don't have to like only come up with the skits and do everything comedy and like everything in your face and everything, things blowing up, and you don't have to be crazy about it.
No.
But there's definitely something to be said about doing something a little bit out of the norm, like
vanilla, less vanilla.
Yeah, we see. This is the thing with Canada. This is back to our glass ceiling mentality. Right. It's like we're more socialist, right? So we have more like we're more willing to conform because that works for everyone,
right?
But that kind of doesn't work online in the same way.
It dilutes it, yeah.
Yeah. So we need to go out there a little bit, you know, and push the boundaries.
Yeah.
And I think that's well, I'm willing to do that. I want to know more creators in the city. I want to do more cool shit.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, okay, whatever that looks like, it's like, okay, if I have to bring you help to produce a podcast and teach you a little bit about what I think, great, let's do that. But let's find ways.
Yeah. Because there's really so much, and it's not even just, I think people see it as, okay, I'm just going to consume this video on YouTube. No, there's so much more to it than that. That it's the culture, right? It's Montreal culture.
Yep.
Needs to be elevated, not just by Canada in general, right? But I just think that, again, there's so much that isn't being communicated to ourselves. Everyone is consuming things from outside of the country or irreverent stuff, you know, that isn't your own. And even the most random memes can communicate a big idea about your surroundings if
Huge.
It's produced by the people near you and around you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think it's, of all the things that I really appreciate about MTL Blog and Narcity, it connects me to understanding more about our country.
Dude.
Because if I think about, like, I know nothing about what's going on in Canadian elections.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yes. Zero. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm a fairly informed person. Right. I'm fairly well read.
Yeah.
And at the exact same time, I still really couldn't, like, tell you a ton, but I can tell you, like, right now, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, definitely neck and neck in Iowa or whatever. Right. Like, I could give you,
always.
I can, like, recite you things about the Electoral College somehow, which is like a very nuanced thing of a country that I don't live in.
I know. And sometimes I feel guilty about that.
Yeah.
That I know so much about American politics and not as much about Canadian. But one thing I noticed about myself is that I probably learned more about Canada in the last, I mean, since Narcity existed, partly because of work. But before then, to me, Canada was just this boring ass country that never really had any faults.
Yep.
It was just, everything's fine, you know? And then suddenly, oh, shit, everything's not fine. Things are on fire everywhere. And also, this sucks and that sucks. But also, this is great.
Yeah.
And I think now I'm looking back and I'm like, holy shit, if it wasn't for Narcity, I wouldn't know my country. I wouldn't even know Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned so much about this city alone
that
if it wasn't for MTL Blog, fuck, man. Like, why would you need to? Again, going back to what you're consuming online. If everything you're consuming is from abroad or it's from, you know, whatever, why would you even take 2 seconds to look around you?
Well, yeah. And we're lost in the rabbit holes.
Yeah.
And now more than ever, we're so lost in those rabbit holes.
Yeah,
back
agreed.
To picking up our phone and just scrolling through the through the gram or whatever it is. It's difficult to, I feel like the problem has now evolved into a new problem, which is, I'll read something about like the top four things to do in Montreal this weekend and on MTL Blog and then be like, okay, cool. I want to do them. But now with who?
Yeah.
And I'm like, can I, like, in COVID is another thing. I'm, you know, I'm not worried too much about the laws. I'm laxed on it. I wear the mask and do the thing. Don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm definitely still willing to explore. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about COVID for myself.
Right.
And in that scenario, I still feel like I'm like, yeah, but so like that's a great idea. And who can I go with?
Yeah.
So I find like there's a little bit of a gap in rallying people within a city.
Yeah.
Rallying community in a city.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you know, even the farm that I'm building and like some of the communities I'm building here, and even when the intention of this physical space, this studio, is to build more of that.
Right.
And I would just like to see more of those like rally points because maybe I'm speaking out of my ass. Maybe most Montrealers feel like they're really connected to these things. It's just, I've been working from home forever. Like this COVID is new for everyone else. I'm like, I had Zoom years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Zoom is not new to me.
Ooh, Zoom.
Yeah. If anything, now it just got more features quicker
because
they raised billions or whatever, right? But the idea of like the capacity for me to connect with community is still something I think I would love to see more of. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to see how we take things like MTL blog and some of these this content that's being produced and actually turn that into like analog.
Yeah.
Like real person, like, hey, here's me on this food trip. And by the way, I'm going to be at that restaurant that I was speaking about in the video this date, this time, come meet some other Montrealers and that are interested in food
too. That's another thing. And I, again, I feel like this is a small segment of the greater thing that we're talking about in terms of, I don't know, personality in Montreal and all this stuff. That was never a thing that was tapped into by the brands where, okay, cool, let's place Alex there and we'll have a meet and greet. And part of it, I'm sure, is because it just never entered the frame of consciousness and the organization behind it, sure, whatever. But really, it's just, you know, interacting with the people that are consuming this stuff. I mean, I don't think about the fact that, like, you know, over the course of my career, I've had tens of millions of people see videos that I've put out. I can't, like, pinpoint the, you know, people.
Because they're just numbers on a screen.
It's just numbers on a screen. And especially now when I'm working from home and stuff.
Yeah.
It's, like, so detached.
Yes.
So, yeah, absolutely. I think that that's just a stepping stone to a greater collaboration within the city. I think that there's a huge opportunity to meet people within the city, creative or not.
Yeah.
Well, I have something to add to this, which is everybody wants some personality, whether it's, you know, the face of MTL blog or not, that they can relate to. And so many people can relate to you, and yet you have that lack of connection because it's kind of like a one-way stream where they're seeing you.
Yeah.
And so, like, in a sense, if there were to be some sort of, you know, Vox or Vice or something, you know, segment of Montreal, we would need somebody or some group like Yes Theory or something like that to be the face of it so that when we're walking down the street, we can be recognized.
That's a great question that I have for you, which is, do you, how much thought do you put into you understanding that you are a personality in Montreal? Like, I would guess you're MTL famous. I mean that. You must be recognized when you take a metro or when you walk into an IGA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there must be people who are like, you're the guy from MTL. Yeah. Or they give you a look when you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's like, the worst because I have the worst memory. So I'm like, do I know this person? Or
Or do they just recognize you? Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I don't think about it. And I think that, like, when it does happen, it kind of brings me back to, oh, shit, yeah, like, I am that guy. And I think that I think about it once in a while. Like, if I go out for a walk, for example, and I notice people staring sometimes, I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, like, I'm that guy. So, like, you know, don't trip, you know? That's why I actually enjoy wearing the face mask because, like, I could just go fucking sweatpants and I'll look like shit and, like, no one knows, you know? I think that it's... I think that as a kid, I always thought it was really cool to spot somebody you know from TV or movies and stuff. And I always thought it would be cool to be that person for other people, not for myself, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Just because, I don't know, it makes your day.
Yep.
And I'm not saying like I go out and like that's what I'm like trying to do, but I think it's really cool that I can be that person for other people.
So who do you feel that way about? Like who's some creators, who's some people that you're like really, like for an example for me is Casey Neistat was one of those.
Right.
He like revolutionized my view of YouTube and vlogging and just what you can do
in storytelling. It's weird because I work in this sphere. I don't look at anyone else that does what I do that way. Maybe like George Strombolopoulos.
Okay.
But I think there's certain people in industries that I respect, and those are the people that I'm like, oh my God, that's like, that would be so fucking cool to see that person, you know?
Sure. But if I give you $1 million or $10 million and I say, okay, you can now produce whatever you want to produce, like in full, would you do more of what you're currently doing? Yeah. Like, I guess the answer is to some degree, yes, because you're doing it because you love it. But where would you go with it? Like, if I give you $10 million right now, you're going to produce anything for Montreal, for you, your own brand, whatever it is. What would you do?
What I would love to do, I think I definitely love talking about things that are going on. Briefly, like you had mentioned yourself for your podcast, I think that I have a voice and I think it can be interesting and people seem to gravitate towards it. And I kind of want to use it for good, whatever that means. I think that I'm interested by a lot of different things. And I have learned over time that if I do one thing for too long, I get bored.
Yeah.
And I resent it. Mm-hmm. After a while, we just did a whole bunch of food stuff back to back. And I love food. And I will probably always do something related to food. But I'd like to do something related to movies or video games or travel. Mm-hmm. And meeting people. There was so one
continue
idea.
Down like
continue
like,
down
like do the Anthony Bourdain style, yeah, like where he gets there's a little somebody. Bit different in yeah that's it see you like know? I feel like yeah. I feel like you're hitting that culture vibe yeah. of like it's more than just the food, mm-hmm. it's the art, it's the people, it's the, you know, the culture behind
the
it.
People behind whatever the thing is, yeah. is more interesting to me, because I think everybody has something to say, and not like, oh, let's give everybody a voice. I think everybody has learned something about in their life,
yeah.
that you can take away. And I always find it so fascinating that, like, you can read something in a book from like 300 years ago, yeah. and boom, you just download it into your psyche. You didn't have to learn that lesson yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, by just talking to people, you gain that experience and you level up. And if I've had the opportunity to speak to so many people, if I can find a way to make a career out of that, even more so, interviewing people, whatever,
that's what, you would do.
That's what I would do.
Well, I'll say something that I sent you a DM about.
Right.
The guy, the homeless man.
Yes.
Who was living.
Yes.
And who built that, like, yeah. shack,
yeah.
basically right next to where you live. Right. Which is kind of, so for those who don't know or haven't seen this, mm-hmm. you have a, and I think you have it as like a highlight.
Yeah, it's
on
a highlight
Instagram.
On my
yeah,
Instagram.
Yeah, go check out the highlight on his Instagram. Link down, you know where it is. And so long story short, there was this, you know, homeless man who basically built this shack in, right. in a kind of vacant lot
right.
that is now going to surely turn into condos.
Exactly.
But he was there for a long time.
He was there for at least a year and a half to 2 years.
Yeah, he built like a pretty
full-on house.
Full-on mini tiny home.
There was a chimney.
Yeah, concrete. He had like art on the walls.
Crazy.
And crazy. then lately, and I saw the kind of story, and you were like, this is the end of this of yeah. the story.
Yeah.
This kind of man who, for the first time, I'd never seen him, I don't think, in any of the other stories.
Yeah.
And then he just comes out and he walks away and his home gets destroyed in the middle of a pandemic, mid of COVID, yeah. you know, to build condos yeah. when we're in a housing crisis to some degree mm-hmm. in the city and winter's mm-hmm. coming and all those things, right? You know, pun intended. But the idea of like all of that, that story, like yeah. I would love to hear that person's story. Like,
so, you know what's crazy about that, and I haven't posted about this because it happened fairly recently, but somebody posted about it on Facebook, and this girl has been in contact with him for a while now, and she started a GoFundMe for him, and she raised $1,000.
Okay, so this link is now you're it's, sending me
yes,
this link.
Yes, I'm
right
sending
after
you this,
this
link. It's going to be attached, and yeah. so basically, she's been in contact with him, and she heard about the videos and she got in touch with me to yep. tell me, hey, do you know where he went? Do you know anything about it? I have no idea. He's been seen near Guy Concordia,
yep.
near Atwater, that area. Yeah, and yeah. so we're trying to track him down right now. I was going to put up, she contacted me 2 days ago saying, hey, like, can we put out like a video or something? And yeah, no, he's, want to track him down and give him the money. Yeah.
Just give him the money and tell a story.
Yeah.
Because no. I feel like those stories, those mini stories
are fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. Yeah. I love, there's a brand online, Great Big Story.
Yes.
Love them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. These little stories of like yeah. this woman who makes these little fairy houses and in the forest near her house, and then people can go and see it. And like, I love that. Yeah. I love these little stories that carry so much further than what we mm-hmm. can imagine, mm-hmm. you know?
It's like the humans of New York City.
Right.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right. It's like, exactly. MTL Blog is missing a little bit of the humans in New York.
Yeah.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think if we had a little bit of humans in New York, I think if you guys had a podcast,
yeah.
which,
yeah.
you know, I can help you guys
Trust
with.
Me.
And if, and yeah, we'll have this conversation further. But I, yeah. And then just exactly like these little mini docs on yeah. like, here's this story
yeah.
told through months of you documenting yeah. the shift of his house.
Right.
And it's so funny because dude, you produce a ton of content, but one of the things that I actually really have followed is this story of yeah. this, whoever this person
yeah.
is,
yeah.
being, you know, living this life. And yeah, it's a very interesting thing to think about.
I thought it was very cool because, first of all, that was never the intent. I was never like, oh, I'm going to put this thing together. And
sure,
I actually
just calculated it.
I think it comes up to like 9 or 10 minutes, just each 15-second clip.
Yeah.
And when I first moved in there, I was like, this is fucking amazing. Like, what the fuck is going on here, you know? And it just evolved into this crazy tale of he's gone, he's back, he lives in the winter now, and he's shoveling his, it's the cops destroy his home, and yeah. he built another one, and yeah. they destroyed that, and built a bigger one.
And he had a chimney and everything.
Chimney, and then you're like, what? And yeah, no, it's crazy that there's so many of these stories that will never be told, and by pure coincidence, I happen to move in to the apartment opposite this empty lot that's yep. been sitting there for a couple of years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's countless of these stories to be told. Mm-hmm. I just appreciate that at the end of the day, Montreal has a face that can tell some of these stories.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun. It's a weird position to be in.
Right.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To just be wanting to tell the news, but you're not the person
right.
who's controlling how right. all of these things go down or where right. the money is going to flow. But I can only imagine that we're going to see more of this. I can imagine the MTL blog has kind of got their shit together now, mm-hmm. and our city as a whole is just like, I can see where this is going to go.
Yeah. I think that.
And I can see like all the opportunities, like the sponsored content
right.
side of things is
yeah.
picking up. I can imagine like
yeah,
a ton of restaurants just, are like,
yeah.
yeah, I need to be in that next 9 places I have to go for.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I've been out of that side Luke. Of things for
yeah.
so long that I don't even know if they still do that. I know they do sponsored content.
They must do.
But I don't know if it ends up in the lists. That's the
You don't
thing.
Think that they're doing listicles where they're like one out of seven of the restaurants?
I don't know. I think well, that if people are willing to pay, I don't think they want to be in a list. I think they want to have the feature. You know, it's
like, I mean, they do, place. but sometimes, number one, they can't pay for the feature. Number two, it's actually a better content when it's like built into
snuck in.
Yeah, kind of yeah, yeah.
possible.
Is like, that like you know? It's a weird thing because that's mm-hmm. that is a game.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. Yeah. I play that game.
Yeah,
right. I know PR today mm-hmm. in the world of entrepreneurship. You got a listicle coming yeah. out. Let's be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
there's ways.
Yeah.
And I know the person who like I was featured top 20 podcast for entrepreneurs in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then top 21 podcasts that you need to listen to in 2021. Now, the only reason I'm featured, number one, podcast is generally well listened to. It's a cool podcast. I think it's going to go in the right direction. Tooting my own horn there. But more importantly, it's actually because I knew the person who was writing the article.
Right. Right.
And so I love the idea of being featured in
yeah.
the list. But I know people pay to be part of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that this is a thing. And I think that that's worth it as an investment for some brands. Because what else do...
Oh, man.
How else yeah. do you... You know, like you're a new restaurant in Montreal.
Right.
You need clients.
Right.
Nobody can even now come to your establishment.
Yeah.
So you need to like compete on Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Put out a really good deal on Uber Eats and a lot of people are going to start knowing about
yeah.
you. But they don't all have that capacity. No. They don't have the
tech. Or you're buried in Outremont. Like, how are you going to get the word out? You have a Facebook page and
yeah.
you don't have money for a PR campaign on Instagram. But guess what? One article. No, look, it's crazy. At the end of the day, I mean, people will frame, they'll print out an article that put it
yeah.
out in the restaurant, you know? And
I tell my friends,
that's a thing.
Absolutely. One of my best friends, his name is Jeremy. I know you follow yeah. his art all over this apartment yeah. here, this place here. I told him, I'm like, man, you have to be featured in Montreal blog at some point. You know what I mean? Like, and he's done, you know, he's done morale and all these things.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but you need to just like be
yeah.
featured. Like yeah. you're a premium, like you're a face of Montreal, mm-hmm. but that you're just getting there and
yeah.
gets to do more of the mainstream yeah. stuff. And the way I see it is MTL blog is becoming the mainstream of this, of our culture.
It's so crazy.
It's so wild.
It's so crazy.
So wild.
And I've heard that said about so many other businesses that went on to become big and like,
yeah.
you know, we were just 5 kids in a garage. I don't.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, holy fuck. Like, yeah,
you're
it's going, if, unless something horrific happens, it's moving in that direction. And it, like, I think in 5 or 10 years, we're going to look back at what it was when it first started and be like, holy shit.
Oh,
it already is that.
Yeah, I think it's going to accelerate pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you know, there was an announcement, I think, and you can give me the details on it, about Google investing more in
right.
local news.
Right.
I guess to make the Google searches even more relevant and
original
to kind of
content.
Yeah, local, and there's yeah. just, they're investing in news as a whole because they want to be, you know, they want to be the go-to source. They already are, but
right.
they just want to stay the,
right.
being the go-to source.
Yeah.
And so that means that they have to build faster integrations with certain brands, mm-hmm. right? Like you, because when you Google things now, there's always like these like lightning articles that are
right.
always at the top. You'll always see like the Telegraph or Washington Post or New York Times. Like there's certain news establishments
that will pop
that
up.
Are always going to pop
yeah.
up at the top of Google.
Yeah.
And it seems like Narcity has now cemented one of those positions across Canada.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And I guess that just speaks to the fact that they're checking these boxes of, cool, it's not, you know, it's not fake news, it's not bullshit, it's been checked, it's been this and that. My experience, again, just going back to the 7 years that I've been with this company, you can't do something now just like that.
Yeah.
It needs to be checked by an editor. It needs to go through a process. And part of me is still kind of adjusting to that. And I'm like, hey, like, stop, you know. But at the same time, I get it.
Yeah.
It's so much bigger than what it was. And you can't fuck with that.
Yeah, the editorial process is not as fun as the full creative freedom that surely you had when you first started with MDL Blog and stuff. But but at the end of the day, it gives you an opportunity, number one, to be super accurate.
Yes.
Which is great in a world of like post-truth.
Which is a huge relief.
Oh, absolutely.
Huge relief.
Huge relief.
Yeah.
And number two, and because your content specifically isn't like political or it's not like, you know, we're politicizing everything nowadays, but you're hitting on like just fun arts culture. Yeah. Like you're just hitting on a bunch of stuff that isn't to be, I don't want to say to be debated. Right. There's some debate in anything, but there is something that you're just doing that's just true as it is. There is something beautiful about actually taking more time because then you think, okay, do I really have the right title? Do I really have the right thumbnails? Am I really going after the kind of content I want to do? You know what I mean? Like, are you really like, There's an art and a beauty to actually looking at your content over a longer scale rather than just like, I made it today, I published today.
And
I,
exactly. So when I started full-time in video 2 years ago, the goal was to do a daily show live every day at 7 p.m. And that was just insanity. This is insane. It was, first of all, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Because it was a half an hour. I would have to research all day.
Yeah.
Prepare a half hour show where I spoke to the camera straight.
Yeah.
With facts and not fuck up. Because if you fuck up, like, I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
So I think that lasted maybe 2 weeks. And then we kind of pivoted. We tried a whole bunch of stuff. And I think still to this day, my favorite run of videos that we did back to back were these, like, there was some topic each day that was kind of big.
Yeah.
Whether it was a Gillette ad or whatever. And I had 8 hours, or no, less than that, I had like 5 hours to put together a script.
Mm-hmm.
And my video guy would film it, and we would cut it up, and we would have the B-roll and all that, and he would edit it together. I don't know how the fuck we did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. And then we would put it out the next morning at like 7 a.m. or something like that before people went to work. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tried everything.
Yeah.
But we put out so many fucking videos, and it gave me my whole thing is, how can I take a piece of information and kind of eat it and translate it in my own words and have that time to kind of present it in that way? And the fact that I had that opportunity, I think, is so fucking cool. And I did it. And now the stuff that I'm working on is a lot lighter, and it is way easier to not have to worry about all the repercussions. And I love it because it brings people joy. Like, people watch this stuff, and no one's getting mad. Maybe I didn't feature I didn't talk about your poutine place, you know?
Absolutely,
but no one's going to fucking burn down my house, because they're like, this fucking guy said that.
He said, this is the best poutine, we're the best poutine.
Okay, you're going to be a poutine. But
is there a poutine mafia out there?
You know, I'm sure there is.
There are 100%.
In Montreal, you kidding me?
Yeah. The biggest heist in Canada of all time was a maple syrup heist.
We have.
The isn't that hilarious? That is the most Canadian story I've ever heard. In my life.
I'm waiting for the miniseries.
So there's apparently some thing. they apparently want to feel more about this, which is so funny the biggest heist is like, I think it's like $16 million. It's like nothing.
It sets us back collectively as a culture.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're known for hockey, Tim Hortons, and maple syrup. And igloos, depending on where, if you're like in Arizona and you know nothing about Canada somehow. Yeah, I mean, again, you're putting it on the map. I love what you're doing. I don't know what time. How long have we been going here?
An hour and 2 minutes.
Woo!
Oh, see, it's my timing, amazing. I have like a spidey sense for 60 minutes in my mind.
I try and
stay in this range. I like to go a little bit longer, a little bit shorter.
I can't believe it's been. What did you say? 102 minutes.
An hour.
An hour now. 62 minutes. We've been. Yeah, we're going for 62.
Amazing.
I mean, with all of that said,
yes.
What's and we'll end it here. Yeah. What's next on your chopping block? Like, what's the next? You know what I mean? Like, I know you have Food Trip. I know more episodes for sure are gonna come out. I'm sure you've been working on it for some time now. What if you can tell me anything? Yeah. I know that maybe there's an NDA here, but if you can tell me what do you think is next? What do you see this going for you? What do you want to produce more of? What's coming up?
I think in terms of things with like Narcity and MTL Blog, we want to go bigger. We want to go longer form. I think we want to be a platform for video, and whether that's Netflix or YouTube or I don't know, okay. That's definitely the direction we're moving in.
Okay.
Personally, me and my brother are talking about starting up a podcast as well.
Nice.
So might be a little situation.
We'll talk about that.
I think that COVID has been super interesting because with everything shutting down and me having to spend time with myself,
yeah.
I've sort of had to face, you know, what I want to do and who do I want to be? Because at the end of the day, when nothing else is happening, guess what? You're sitting there with your own thoughts. And I've played video games and I've watched movies and I've binged TV shows and I've read books. And now I'm just sitting here and I'm like, cool. Like, what do you want to do, man? Because there's so much, like, life is so long. People talk about how short life is, and I get it. Time has been going by lately very quickly, but we have so much fucking time ahead of us.
Absolutely.
And I am in a unique position where maybe I can choose what I want to do with that time. So I don't know specifically what I want to do, but I know it's going to involve creating content with really cool fucking people. And I really hope it takes me to places that I haven't explored yet before.
Yeah. Well, it sounds amazing. I love what you do. I appreciate what you do. Thank you so much for traversing the city streets, the COVID streets.
Oh, it's been a joy,
but... and coming out here, I feel like I have a new friend in you. For those of you who don't know, this is the first time we actually ever met.
Ever.
Yeah. So you know, if this felt natural, if this felt all the different things, it's because, well, we do. We know what we're doing here. So look, ladies and gentlemen, you know where to find the links. You know where to find more about our valued guest here, Alex. Thank you so much again for coming. Hit that subscribe button. Let us know if there's anything we missed in the comments. If we made something, we fucked something up, you want to see him back again, whatever you want to do. You know where the links are. You know where the things are. And go and help that homeless man.
Help him.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool campaign. Anyway, see you in the next episode.